Treasure the Eternal is my message for you today. If you would please open up your Bibles to the 6th chapter of Matthew. And in your Bible, you'll find 5, 6, and 7 is in red letter in your Bible. These are the words of Christ. I am so pleased that when I go out to speak wherever, I can take the Word of God and the actual words of Jesus Christ. Think of that for you folks that have opportunity where you teach, minister, any place you're serving God, you're taking the eternal truth of God's Word. Now today, I want to just give you a few thoughts. I have messages and I speak in chapel to school and around, but I could not center in on one of those ones that I just really think maybe one of my better ones. That's not what I'm after. This message is just for you for today, and God laid this passage on my heart from chapter 6. Treasure the eternal. This thing works. Let me go to the thought here. Serving God through the church. Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church, the body of Christ, that body of worldwide believers that is part of that universal group that has been called, has answered the call, have responded and humbly accepted Christ as Savior. They have different names, but they're of the same unit. The body of Christ. There are various ministries that God has used through the work of the church, and my little niche here has been through the years in the area of education. I grew up in Gilmer County, West Virginia. I planned to be a teacher from high school forward. My father was a teacher and administrator. My mother was a teacher, first starting out in one-room schools. I had it in my system. My brothers before me were teachers, administrators, superintendents, sisters, a principal, all of my family. And so education was just kind of my goal. And I was on a fast track in education, public education. I went from teaching in Putnam County, West Virginia, back to Pleasance County, West Virginia, to become an administrator there of an elementary school first, and then they wanted me to help start another new school, beautiful campus facility, amazing ministry there, if you will, for education. I loved that school. 600 and some students in that school at that time, about 35 staff members, but the part I liked the most was it had an indoor swimming pool. Can you believe that? In a public school, it had one. And so I wasn't supposed to do it, but every once in a while when I got a little down, I'd go in there and sneak in and take a swim. But in 1976, God got a hold of my heart. I was attending a strong ministry church, little by little growing in the Lord. And these verses of Scripture worked on my heart back at that time. And what I want to talk to you about here is the three things I saw in this passage that blessed me and guided me and moved me at that time. And I think probably talking to you folks today, there are many of you that have already been to this passage and accepted this teaching. For you, I confirm that the teaching of Christ here is right and you have done the right thing. Others of you may be deciding, what about my life? I was trying to decide at that time, what should I do with my life? I was fully intended to be superintendent of Wood County Schools. I fully intended to be superintendent of West Virginia's public schools. That was my goal. My brother, my older brother, was deputy superintendent for a while in West Virginia. I was kind of following in his footsteps. But when God got a hold of my heart, I had to make a change. Let's read a little bit from God's Word. Verse 24 in Matthew chapter 6. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I was serving mammon at that point in my life, not specifically for money, but money was a part of it. But the life of society, the life of the world, the life that finances and money and those things can bring, it was very much a part of my life. My ambitions were, as I have told you, but God had a different plan. And I remember laying in bed one night and talking to my wife about these things, and you know how God works when your mate sometimes the same thinking that you have. And I said, I feel like God would have me stop this. I was working so hard for Pleasants County Schools that time, night and day. It's kind of the way I am in life regardless, but what is the end result of my life in doing that? Yes, I'm working with people. Yes, I have impact in the community and so forth, but I, in my heart, said, this is not the road for me. I believe God would have me on a different path. And several speakers came to our church and confirmed that for me. But I thank God that He moved me into a different direction. In Wood County, we have a Christian school that God has miraculously brought together. And I'm just so thankful that I've spent these last years of my life in that place, and to see what God can do when you just let Him have it all and just leave it all to Him. That's a picture of one of our pep rallies there at the school. That's a rowdy bunch. You guys are the Warriors, is that right? We're the Wildcats up there at Wood County. It's a wild bunch. I consider myself a wildcat. I have a wildcat that lives back at my house. I have a trail cam down there and to try to see the big deer, you know. And lo and behold, I have one living behind my house. My wife's not too excited about that one. But I was thinking, you know, the wildcat has not only the symbol, you know, a lot of symbolism with that, but they have a sound, that kind of a mascot. Do you ever hear a wildcat at nighttime? Woo! I mean, it's wild. It'll stand the hair on the back of your head. What do the Warriors say? Forward, charge. When I was in elementary school, first uniform I ever wore in school, Cedarville Elementary School, I was a bulldog. I don't know what the bulldogs did, bark, I reckon, but. Anyway, I love to be around kids and education, and the Christian school has been a delight of my life to see what God would do there. I would encourage you from that standpoint just briefly, that when you're considering and God is dealing with you about what you, how you might serve the church going beyond college, that you consider the ministry of Christian school education. There's so many ways you can serve God in music and missions and all these things, but I love children. When I get down over, you know, sometimes and just need a little lift, I go over to the elementary building and get a hug from one of those little kids over there. And I love them. I love the teenagers. I love it all. Anyway, my life has been there. I thank God for that. I want to just give you some thoughts about that path that you may want to take sometime. Maybe the Lord would direct you that way. But in some kind of a ministry that's maybe not on that highway that has glory at the end of it, on a human perspective of the world. The passage says you cannot serve God and money and mammon. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have money. You don't want money. You don't need money. And if money is evil. But the pathway, so many folks, even as Christians, that take in their life is the pathway that leads them into service toward money, to what they do with their time. And so the pathway toward serving God is not always so glamorous on the outset. In high school, I had to memorize this poem. And I remember the first part and the last part. I didn't remember all of it, but when I think of my life and the turn I made back in 1976, this poem came to me, Robert Frost's poem on The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, I stood and looked long down the pathway as far as I could see to where it bent in the undergrowth. The one here on your screen shows a wide, bright path. The other one's not so well traveled. Now, the verses in the middle, I forgot all those, but I remember so much the last passage. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. The road you take in life, the pathway toward the worldly things, the money, the influences, and all that, or the pathway toward things of God, serving God. I had to make that decision those years ago. I'm thankful that I made it. I think of the verse from Joshua where he said to the people, you got to make a choice who you're going to serve. Choose you this day. You're going to serve the gods, small gods of their fathers. You're going to serve the true God. And he said, for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. That's been my motto and thought, and my wife since that time, and we have endeavored to do that. God helping us, it's been wonderful. How exciting to pass through the door that Christ opens, someone said. And at our school these years, it's been amazing to see how door after door has opened for the school to develop, for the influence in the lives of hundreds of young folks now in the last 21 years. And one of them sitting over here, Ben, I acknowledge you over here, right on the front. That's where he used to get when I would teach him in Bible class too. And his sister Beth. We've had others that have come here to this institution, and it's a wonderful place, and I thank God. Now, he was teaching his followers here, I hope you catch this, because Christ is ministering to those that have followed him up on the side of the mountain, the Mount of Beatitudes, and he's now instructing them further of the life that I want you to live, the way it should be. He's going to challenge them to go, not just to follow him up on the mountain, but to take a road to serve him. Some of you have taken that path. Some of you are sitting here this morning probably and wondering, well, I've made that decision, but I don't know where I can make it or not. You say, no, serve money, but I need a little money. You may be wondering where your next payment for college is going to come from. Your next meal, fixing the car. I don't know whatever you might have, but it takes money. But let me tell you what Christ said to them next year. You open your Bibles here to chapter 6. Look at verse number 25. And he spends several verses here in this passage. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Isn't it more than that? Are you just thinking of money and what it requires to live? There are four occasions in this passage here where Jesus said, take no thought. Verse number 25, it says that. Look at verse 28, it says, take ye thought for raiment. Why take ye thought for raiment? Verse 31 says it again, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat and drink? Verse 34, therefore no thought for tomorrow. He comes back to these followers after telling them and encouraging them to take the road of service to say, trust me for all your needs. Now that was a big one for me back in 1976, making a fine salary. and moving to a ministry where it wasn't so great, and all the issues of life with a wife and children. And I know missionaries encounter these things. How are we going to make it on the mission field? You may wonder, well, Mr. Smith, how are we going to make it in Christian education? They don't pay what I can get out here in the public sector. That's right. But Jesus says, is life all about money? Is that all life's about? Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs, you know the passage from chapter 3. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will meet your needs. I can testify to that in my life. I want to encourage you today that you can trust, when you take the road of service, you can trust God to take care of you. Someone has calculated the middle verse of the Bible. I don't know who has time to do these things and count them all, but Psalm 118:9 supposedly is the middle verse. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Trusting in God. You know, when we started Wood County Christian School in 1995, we had a group meeting at one of the churches, and one of the board members stood up in that meeting and he said to the audience, folks, we don't have any money. We don't have any students. We don't have any buildings. We don't have any furniture. He said, I'll never forget it, he had a pencil in his hand. He took it out. He said, well, he lied about this one, I guess. He had one. We don't have a pencil. But he said, we have a great God. A great God. And I bear testimony here of the greatness of God, that He will trust, you can trust Him to meet all your needs as you go down the path of service. Remember, you're serving the God of the universe. You are serving the God who has it all. He gives His followers here, it's interesting, He gives His followers an example that's pretty easy to understand. He says, you know, who takes care of the fowls of the air? Who takes care of the birds? Who clothes the birds? And I found that picture here in thinking of this message. And He says, what about the fields that are filled with lilies? And God clothes them. They don't work. God takes care of them. Don't you think God can take care of you and all your needs? When you consider the road of service, don't forget, trust the God of the universe for all your needs. He will supply. By the way, in the passage here, verse number 33, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God meets our needs. He doesn't meet all of our wants, but He's made a lot of my wants in life. He gives me beyond what I need. Again and again, do not worry about how you're going to make it. Some of you are, no, maybe considering that. Some of you are maybe in a place in your life where you're not even sure which way you're going to go. You are a follower of Christ. You're here in this place, but not all of your assurances are there yet. Trust God. Lastly, here in the passage, go back to the one we kind of started with your meditation moment. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to encourage you to treasure eternal things. Eternal things. Not things that will rust and rot and dissolve and you never amount to anything in life, in eternity. You can't lay up treasures like that in heaven. They're not going to be there. The things in heaven are eternal, permanent, wonderful. Now, what are those things? There's plenty of them. you hold in your hands, and I have in my hands today, the eternal truth of God's Word. Is it a treasure in your life? Treasure. I was out there in the lobby this morning looking around, and I see that beautiful craft work of the Bible stands. Dr. Anderson's favorite hymn, or one of them. And one of those lines is, its pages burn with truth eternal. Wow. What we have is eternal. When you're engaged in the study, the meditation, the usage, the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God, you're into eternal things. One of the reasons I left public education and it was bothered so much back at that time was I cannot properly handle the Word of God and teaching people. And an education without God in it, without Christ in it, is an improper education. Now you consider that when you're considering, where do I want to go to teach? I tell you, Christian schools need teachers. Churches need teachers and youth workers and youth pastors, and there is so much to do in God's work. Treasure the eternal. Let that be something in your life that guides, lay things up. I could go on beyond that, but when you treasure people, you're treasuring eternal things. The soul of man is eternal. Daniel Webster said this, if we work upon marble, it will perish. If we work upon bronze, time will efface it. If we build temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work upon immortal souls, if we imbue them with just principles of action, fear of wrong and love of right, we engrave on those tables something which no time can obliterate and which will brighten through all eternity. I challenge you to work on eternal things. Treasure eternal things. I've been reading some quotes from David Livingstone here recently. He gave his life in missionary work in Africa. And he had such an impact and left such an impact on the world in many ways. His heart was in Africa. And I love the story of how the people of Africa kept his heart. Body sent back. They cut his heart out and buried it in Africa. Commitment to a life for others. I memorized this little poem years ago. I'll leave you with this. Others, yes, others, Lord, let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others that I might live like Thee. Spend your life on eternal things. Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. Praise God if you've made that commitment already. Take the road of service. Trust Him for all your needs. And treasure eternal things. God bless you.